CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Here we are. We're live. It's Monday, Leanne's favorite day of the week.
Yay, and I'm waiting for it.
Oh, why is it your favorite day of the week?
She's depressed all the time, and then Mondays are like, oh, thanks for coming, Mondays. You know.
Oh, yeah. Eeyore.
Yeah, it's like Eeyore.
Very shame. Eeyore.
How was your weekend, Ass?
It was okay, thank you. There's a lot of work to do at the moment. People are cramming stuff in.
That's good.
Before the end of the year.
That's very good news.
People have kind of woken up, and they now know that there's work to be done.
Yeah, that happens. People do. They wake up at the last minute. It's like studying for exams when you were at school or at varsity. You remember? Like, oh shit, exams. Oh, I've got 2 days to study everything I learned in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
This is going to end up well.
You've had since January.
Yeah, but we're all like that.
But it's going to get frustrating because it's also that time of the year when people will put pressure on you. And you like respond very quickly and you make things happen, and then they'll only get back to you from the 15th of Jan plus.
But at least you'll know you've done your thing,
I guess.
Hey Ben, how was your weekend? How was Daniela's birthday?
It seemed happy. She seemed happy. Not too fazed by being another year older. That's always good. Because that's what happens when you're in your 30s, right?
Right.
You think, I'm getting old.
Jeez, who did I see over the weekend?
You looked old?
Yeah.
that was a segue?
It was on a YouTube clip. Mikhail Gorbachev. Remember the leader of the Soviet Union in the late 80s?
You drink as much as he has over the years.
Oh, take a look at him. They interviewed him probably sometime early this year. I mean, obviously, he's much, much older. He was already old when he handed over the Soviet Union in 1989, 1990. And now he looks really old.
Has that birthmark just gone
all the way there.
All the way down his face.
The birthmark is still there.
Shame. So vodka isn't an anti-aging thing.
No, I'm afraid not. So he shocked me.
Only if you lie in it, I think.
But you see, this age thing is inevitable, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the one disease that we all suffer from.
Right. You just get older.
Yeah. Just a disease.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I spent a bit of time in Durban this weekend. I got a little bit of sun, which I was very happy about.
Ooh, how was that?
Fantastic. The weather was great. Friday was a little chilly, but Saturday and Sunday were amazing. And got to catch up with some friends there and got to just do as little as possible, which is always nice. How was PE?
PE was great.
I was listening to some of that live feed on Friday. It sounded like you were 21st, basically.
What do you mean?
Oh. Was he having a party?
Yeah.
Every day in my life is a party. Let's just get that out.
It was your 21st, and you had a whole bunch of yas girls in the background. It's quite a thing.
Yas girls.
I'll move very swiftly past that. But I actually will have to admit something. After our conversation last week about... Gareth, you admitted that you're very civil with your exes.
Oh, yes?
And I was thinking about that while I was in PE, and I thought, let me try to be a bigger person. Let me try to be a better person. Let's see where this road will lead. And I reached out to a person I dated for a while, and let me just say I regret it now.
Oh, really? Did it? It was a bad idea.
Just bad, horrible idea. I'm sorry. Note to self, stick to your guns. Don't let Gareth influence you.
But in what manner did you reach out?
So he lives in PE now. And I thought, what if after our conversation last week, it's the stars aligning and I should actually do something about it.
So he moved from here to PE?
Yeah.
Okay, well then that's usually a sign of someone downgrading their life.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and if that's what happened, he's going to be really ready to grab onto anything and pull him back to a life he had before.
Okay, but I'm just saying he's a surgeon. Let me put it and he was called by the MEC of Health.
He's a surgeon.
So that's kind of
impressive. But let me still tell you, if you move to PE, you want to change the way your life is moving the other way. You don't hear about people...
It was regressing, not progressing.
You never hear about people moving to PE, ever.
Oh, shame. Oh, no. So I reached out to him, I think, on the Thursday, saying, heads up, hey, I'll be coming around. I'll be in your part of the woods.
Sure, let's meet up. Let's have a drink.
Yeah, let's have a drink.
Remember the good times.
Oh, and then on the Friday, he tells me that on the Thursday, he says his home was broken into. Mm. He's very shaken up right now. He's actually thinking of staying at a hotel. Which hotel will I be at?
Uh-oh.
And that's already saying, mm-mm.
Uh-oh.
That's not a good sign. So I sort of coyly play him off, and he books at a separate hotel, and we then go out for dinner that Thursday evening, and we just have a very awkward first couple of minutes. It's like there's this elephant in the room. No one wants to really say anything, but we're trying to put these fake smiles on. And then he just goes for the jugular. He goes, "Are you seeing anyone right now?" And I'm like, "Oh,
wow." Straight up.
Did you say it like that? Because if you start a conversation with, "So, are you seeing anyone right now?" That doesn't sound so offensive.
Well, then I had to, you know, bite my tongue and I go, "Actually, no." And then I think Mr. Man saw this as a perfect opportunity as a reunion, and this is happening now. He goes, "Oh, yay, actually, because I'm coming up to Joburg for a while now." And I'm like, "Oh, no.
Oh, shit."
Yeah, so I had to down my sorrows in vodka.
Let's sleeping dogs lie.
Exactly. Yeah, that was an awkward dinner. Finished that, and the whole way through Friday, he continued texting me.
Oh, no.
He flew to Joburg over the weekend, I had to, like, lie 40,000 times saying, I'm busy.
Well, hopefully he's listening to this right now.
Now that he's listening.
Yeah, so that he knows.
I'm just going to write that into the blurb here. CS, not that into this guy. There we go.
Yeah, I hope you're sir, I hope you're listening, whoever you are. I mean, you sound like you're an intelligent dude. You're a surgeon.
Really great guy.
CS, not keen. Just move on.
And that's not particularly a bad reflection on you. It's just... It doesn't work in this situation.
There is nothing in the world that's sadder than someone who's chasing a lost love.
It's just sad.
Oh. Sad for them, sad for everyone around them. Sad.
I'm watching The Bachelor Paradise at the moment.
Oh,
that's sad.
The first season. I mean, the first episode.
Yeah?
And there's a woman who goes to the island. No one knows who else is going to arrive. It's all kind of the all-stars from other shows.
Oh. Yeah.
And she's just intent on hoping that this one guy will arrive.
Oh.
And he doesn't. So she gets the first date card and takes someone else, ends up snogging him, etc.
Uh-oh.
The next day, this guy that she wanted to pitch up pitches up.
After she snogged someone else.
But just, she's so desperate. She was crying right from the beginning. I just want him to arrive. And it's horrible to see that desperation.
You know, desperate is the unprettiest thing.
Most unattractive thing, because that other person doesn't want your desperation.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. And they but I love you. Yeah, but you're desperate. That's so unsexy.
And they don't want to be the solution to your desperation, right?
Exactly.
No one wants to be the antidote to desperation.
Yeah. Feels like you take him off of the team.
You feel bad? No, don't text him now.
He's
just deleting the text.
No, I should mark his last message as read. Oh, and the last message was, mwah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
See, what a life.
Let me just wish him a good week, I'll say.
No.
So yeah, just change your profile picture to like a really bad Photoshop image of you in like Barcelona or like in Alaska.
Like I'm out of the country, different time zones. That's all I couldn't answer.
See you in 2018.
There's you on the moon.
Yeah. See you in 2022, South Africa. Yeah. Say that. Just put that as your status and see how many people even react. It'll be a fun exercise.
Oh, shame. I feel so bad. Anyway, okay. I'm done. I'm over him.
You know what, it is getting to that point where, as Leanne says, people are trying to squeeze everything into the last couple of weeks of the year. You've got November. That's it. It's the 5th.
Oh,
Guy Fawkes, like, isn't it today Guy Fawkes Day?
Is that still a thing?
I think so.
I mean, other than just wanting to scare animals, what is the purpose of Guy Fawkes Day?
I don't think...
Just because of some hoodlum
set fire
to stuff.
It's not a South African thing, neither is Halloween.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is Guy Fawkes.
Like Diwali, I get. It's a cultural thing.
Sure.
That happens all over the world.
But Guy Fawkes, you know what Guy Fawkes is? It has no relevance for us at all.
No.
It was basically where this guy called Guy.
Quite original.
He went into the cellars of the Houses of Parliament.
He was with a group of people who were against
the
king.
He was a hood rat.
Right.
He was a hood rat.
To blow it up.
So he was an arsonist.
An arsonist and a hood rat. And then in order to celebrate the defeat of Guy Fawkes and his compatriots, who were all hanged, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
That we blow up things. Like he would have blown up Parliament. I don't know that we care about that in South Africa.
Very British.
Nope.
It's like, yeah, you're right, like Halloween, who cares about that? Or Thanksgiving. I know South Africans who do Thanksgiving. Can you believe that?
No.
Thanksgiving is where the pilgrims thanked God that they found the North American continent and that they weren't murdered by the Native Americans. That's what they were doing. Now, how does that relate to us at all? Why don't you just go and steal, you know, a shrine in Japan and just put it in your house? You can't do that. Fucking South Africans. Stop it.
We've got enough stuff of our own.
Yeah. I mean, how many people are celebrating, like, Shaka Zulu's birthday or death?
Oh.
No one, right?
There's a thing, yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we? He was an interesting man.
So was that the show. That was the best thing on SABC back
with
in the
Henry
80s.
Gale?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good show.
Are they doing a new series now?
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
New Shaka Zulu.
I'd watch that.
I'd watch that.
Is
for
it going to
sure.
be on SABC?
I have no cooking clue.
Because that costs money, shows. I mean, that's why.
Oh.
Exactly. I want a holiday where this plays all day. Screw you, Guy Fawkes.
Go somewhere where they only have SABC 1.
And it's all.
Do they still have the rights to that on SABC?
Oh, no. Actually, there's SABC Encore now.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah, but you need the DSTV for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, who hasn't got that?
Because Cloudy sold that.
They've made the DSTV so cheap now that you can buy, like, you could get two or three channels for, like, R5. They're desperate. They'll sell it to anyone. No, really, you having a satellite dish is not hard. They'll come and install it. They'll make you coffee.
$8.99.
Really?
Yeah.
For how many channels? Two?
No, like the whole
package. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
That's the business strategy they don't understand.
If you get the one or two channels, you could pay R100 or something. Really? Seriously. Yeah, it's cheap as chips. Oh, yes. The boss of Mnet will come and massage your feet at the same time.
You get cuck for like that $100.
Of course you do, but that's better than SABC.
Yeah, but you're not going to get SABC Encore. I think that's one of the premier channels.
Do you think so?
Well, it's one of the ones I care about. I went through a big stage of watching that.
SABC Encore.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you, you can get, listen to this. Here's the deal. I'm reading it off the website right now. The CEO of MultiChoice will come and rub your feet.
Sure.
They will make you coffee.
Wow.
Instant or
plunger? They will light a candle with ylang ylang in it.
Mm.
Huh? That's a nice touch.
Instant.
Leanne's favorite.
Okay.
Because, yeah. I mean, it's
thought
only.
Thought the counts, really. Yeah.
And you'll get three whole channels. And a satellite dish on your roof to show your neighbors you're not poor.
R400.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
That's not a bad deal, actually.
It's a good deal.
Horribly undermarketed, so good thing worth liking it.
And they'll check the tread in your tires.
Ooh.
If you have tires.
Well, especially this time of year, it's a very good thing to have.
Uh-huh.
You know, people are traveling far.
Screw Netflix.
Isn't that nice of them?
That's very good.
Hey, it's very competitive out there.
But did you know, I went to this thing the other day with great stats, and I love stats. 81% of all TV viewing in this country is done on SABC 1.
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
81% of eyeball on screen is SABC 1.
Can I play you something?
Hmm.
I do like that stat, Ben, but I don't know what to say about it.
Well, I wasn't expecting a lot. It was just, you know, relevant, I guess.
Yeah, I just don't know what else to say. I can't really add.
That was kind of that was the bottom line of that discussion before we went to something else.
Do you know, Ben, that how many? 83?
81.
81% of people don't have an option but to watch SABC.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly. I wasn't saying it's the best.
That's all I can say about that.
Yeah, you turn it on, it's what you got. You like it, and you sit down.
All right, listen to this. You know who George Carlin is, right?
Yes, he's dead.
The greatest comedian of all time. This is him. You want to know what the fuss is about?
People are fun. We'll be gone. Dinosaurs had their chance. There was an age of reptiles. Now it's the age of primates. And who knows? Maybe it'll be the insects next. It's not up to us. It's not divinely ordained. We're here on chance. And we're going to go away. And the planet will heal. The planet will heal because that's what it does. It heals itself. It's a self-healing organism. It changes and grows. It'll incorporate all of our dead cities into itself, and it will become something else, but it will still be going around the sun for at least a few more billion years.
So he says, don't worry about climate change. This is one of his last interviews. This is before he died. And what I loved about this guy is he had the long-term view, right? He's a hilarious comedian, by the way. But he's saying that don't worry about this plastic in the landfills or any of that shit, because it'll eventually be absorbed. The Earth will find a way of... It'll be pushed down into the mantle of the Earth and burnt up.
Someone's going to flash, yeah, through it, and then it'll be gone.
It'll be gone. Of course, in the meantime, try to be a little bit tidy, but don't lie in bed at night sweating about, you know, the litter. Or, yeah, the straws. I had a paper straw in a drink over the weekend. I don't like the paper straw. It starts to go all soft and gooey.
I have a glass straw, but then I keep forgetting to take it with me.
Ooh, some restaurants have metal straws now.
It comes with its own little bottle cleaner.
I like that.
Yeah.
A glass straw.
You get different sizes, one for smoothies, one's for normal drinks.
That's environmentally responsible, but also very classy.
And also very easy to forget in your drink, and the waitress takes it and she's got to find it in the restaurant dishwasher.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, so Leanne, you take this around.
But then
you need a chain on it.
Or it must be linked to your phone, and there must be an alarm at the end of your drink that says, remember your straw!
Because also the paper one's got a funny feeling. I don't like paper at the best of times. No. Like when someone opens up a newspaper and then they spread their hand over it. Or when someone folds an A4 piece of paper and squishes it all the way across. Horrible.
Does that make your skin crawl?
Yeah.
Are you the type of person who doesn't like cotton balls?
No, I like them. Okay. I don't mind them.
Random fact. I don't know.
Last straw for the win.
Listen to George, all right?
Whatever. So, we have to save the planet by not putting diapers in the landfill. That's too short-sighted. It doesn't do anything. You have to change yourself. And we'll never do that because the dollars now, it's everybody wants a dollar and a toy. Everybody's got a cell phone that will make pancakes and rub their balls, so they don't. Nobody wants to rock the boat. Nobody wants to change. Don't change anything. And we're on a nice downward glide. I think we squandered great gifts. I think humans were given great, great gifts. Walking upright, binocular vision, opposable thumb, large brain, making tools. Make tools, large brain. Large brain, make better tools. Talk, have to make language. You take this, put in here. We learned language. The brain got bigger, language. We grew. We had great gifts, and we gave it up all up for both man, for both money and God. God and mammon, both. We gave it up to the high priests. It's your job. It's God's will. That's what they say. People say, it's God's will. That means God can do anything he wants, so why pray? They say, you pray for something. Okay, he didn't answer my prayer. Well, it's God's will. Well, if it's God's will, why did I even pray in the first place? He's going to do what he wants anyway. We gave it all up to superstition, primitive superstition, primitive shit. With invisible man in the sky looking down, keeping track of what we do, make sure we don't do the wrong thing. If we do, he puts us in hell and we burn forever. That kind of shit is very limiting. It's very limiting for this brain we have. So we keep ourselves limited, and then we want a toy and a gizmo and gold, and we want shiny things, and we want something to plug in that'll make big, big, big things for us. And all that shit is nothing. It's nothing. We gave it all up. And Americans, who also had great gifts, when you take the theory of democratic rule, self-government, okay, they started off wrong. They owned slaves. They didn't let women vote. They didn't let people who didn't own land vote. Fine. They got off on the wrong foot. But the ideas were good. Well, we fucking blew that. We polluted it. We polluted it with this stuff, things, material goods, games, gizmos, toys, gadgets. Having possessions. I got a bigger truck. Did you see this truck? It's bigger than mine. I'm getting a new truck. Here's a big truck. Oh, I'm getting that one. That's what you got, a video on it? DVD too? He don't have a DVD. I got a DVD. Oh, please. Whatever happened? And all of that is what happened, you know? And that's why I'm divorced from it now. I see it from a distance. I give myself a divorce. I said, George, emotionally you have no stake in this. You don't care one way or another. So watch it. Have fun. You know what? I say it this way. When you're born in this world, you're given a ticket to the freak show. Oh. And when you're born in America, you're given a front row seat. And some of us get to sit there with notebooks. And I'm a notebook kind of, oh, my God, did you see that? And I watch the freak show, and I get my notes, and I make up stuff about it, and I talk about the freaks. And the freaks are all humans, and they're like me, and they're all the same. We're all the same. I'm not better. I'm not different. I'm just apart now. I'm separate. I'm over here because I put myself out of the mix. I don't have a stake in the outcome. I'm not a cheerleader for a given outcome now. Oh, they say if you scratch a cynic, you'll find a disappointed idealist. And I would admit that somewhere underneath all of this is a little flicker of a flame of idealism that would love to see it all change. But it can't happen that way. And incremental change, it just seems like the pile of shit is too deep.
It just seems like the pile of shit is too deep.
He gets so angry and then he kind of gives up and then he gets riled up again.
I love that guy. I wish he was still alive. He would have so much to say about all this politically correct stuff. Can you imagine?
Mm. He was just such an incredibly smart guy. His monologues were insane.
Mm.
He never stammered. He never stuttered. He had like the most amazing thought process to bring his points across.
Yeah.
Like if you have time today, try to find some of his old stuff. The guy was he was exceptional.
George Carlin, Carlin. Really, really good. All right, we got to get to the five things you need to know today, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to know? Give me your orders and I'll process them through the kitchen.
Oh, okay.
SAA?
Oh, SAA. Here, so I flew SAA down to Durban and back, but they don't fly.
They just go on the wheels?
They say to you, actually, it's Mango. But you say, but I booked SAA. They go, sorry, Mango.
So you go on a Mango plane.
You go on a Mango plane with the Mango passengers.
I've been on SAA.
Oh, this weekend?
Over the past couple of weeks.
You're lucky.
Oh, goodness.
They put me on Mango. They told me, yes, I know. I realize your booking starts with an SA, but you're going on Mango.
Sango.
Sango. Sometimes happens. It's the same with British Airways and Kalula. Sometimes you book Kalula, you'll be on a British Airways plane.
Well, they should tell you.
But then there's great irony.
Your cattle. Domestic travel is cattle. Just be happy that you're moving.
Yeah, well.
There's great irony in an SAA flight these days because the cabin crew, as you lift off, will start this whole speech over the speakers of, welcome to flight SAA, blah-de-blah-de-blah, in keeping with Nelson Mandela's centenary. I'm like, what does this have to do with anything?
In keeping with stealing more taxpayer money, we hope to get you there.
But they quote Mandela around responsibility or making things happen, and I fold my arms thinking, SAA, how about you listen to these words yourself?
Practice about what you preach.
Exactly.
I don't like being lied to, so I booked on SAA and I ended up on Mango. Don't do that to me.
But did you pay an SAA price and get a Mango service? Because sometimes you just have really, it's like, wow, the SAA flight is cheap.
No, as far as I know, I was booking on SAA. No one told me at any point during my booking process that it was Mango. But anyway, I'm not good. Here's what they say.
Oh, that's so weird.
The fiscus is no longer able to extend bailouts to SAA. The Ministry of Public Enterprises says South African Airways needs to implement changes that will make the airline financially stable. What? But we've been saying this for 100 years.
Didn't they get 5 billion 2 weeks ago?
Billions and billions.
Yeah.
SAA is to receive a 5 billion bailout from Treasury for immediate financial stability. But the Ministry says there is still a lot of turbulence ahead for the national carrier. Yeah,
good phrasing, eh?
Yeah, the announcement was made during Finance Minister Tito Mboweni's medium-term budget policy statement in October. Remember that?
Yep. But he then went on to an investor conference in New York, and Tito Mboweni said that SAA should be shut down. He says it's loss-making. We are unlikely to sort out the situation, so my view would be to close it down.
Good.
He said you're not going to find any private sector equity partner who will come and join this asset.
Right. Who would want it? That's like buying a turd.
Uh-oh. One that can't even be polished.
Unpolishable turd, the least valuable thing in the world.
That's the note.
A dull lunch bar looking turd.
It's like half bobbing around.
Is it a floater or a sinker?
It's definitely a sinker.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. There's a great description of SAA to give to your friends. All right. In other news, Tom Moyane and Cyril Ramaphosa are going to finish him in court. I don't understand this Tom Moyane. If I were this guy, I would take what I could get and just clear out. Get the hell out. He is just so brazen. He wants to take the president to court for firing him. But he's the worst Tsar's commissioner. He's the worst tax collector in the history of humanity. There were Roman tax collectors who used to ride around in a cart and threaten people at the point of a spear. Who did it better than this guy? After firing SARS Commissioner Tomoyane last week, President Cyril Ramaphosa may find himself in court before he's able to appoint a new boss for the tax collector. Ramaphosa defended his position in an affidavit filed at the Constitutional Court on Friday. Former commissioner approached the court to have the decision set up the Nugent Commission of Inquiry as well as his disciplinary hearing declared unlawful. What a pair of big brass balls this guy's got. Huh? Imagine you're as shit as him. He's shit. That's what the Nugent Commission said. They said, this guy should never have been appointed to any office of any significance. Imagine being told by a commission of inquiry. They call a commission of inquiry together. The commission of inquiry is a lot of... It's not just one judge. He says, this guy should not be given any position of any significance. Imagine someone saying that about you.
But does he care?
Who, Tom Moyani?
Yeah.
Well, he's going to the Concord.
Skin like buffalo.
When I say does he care, I mean...
Does he care about...
It would hurt. You know when it hurts? It's just where you want to cry?
Imagine if I said to you, Leanne, you are useless, and I don't think anyone should employ you for anything that is of meaning or of purpose. You'd go home and cry.
Take a long, hard look at yourself at worst.
I mean, we've got people committing suicide over less. Tom Moyane. So, for you to fire me, I'm going to challenge the validity of your whole inquiry. And I'm going to demand my job back. That's what I'm giving you such a long middle finger. If I put this inside you, it'd come out of your mouth. Anyway. So, with the axe finally fallen on Moyane, it looks set to be a big week for Cyril and the Revenue Service. Moyane's attorney, Eric Mabuza, I know him, he was my lawyer, said the contents of the president's affidavit would determine their course of action. With Moyane gone, the president must appoint a new commissioner. So I don't know what's going to happen here.
Well, that chick from the IT will probably get a promotion.
He appointed her, didn't he? Shame. Poor old Malusi Gigaba, meanwhile.
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't know if you feel sorry for him or not. I mean, maybe you don't. Maybe you shouldn't. He says, I will only resign if I'm asked by Ramaphosa.
I think that's the wrong statement to comment on.
Whew. I mean, Cyril needs to fire a bunch of people, and this guy's now saying, all right, if you want to fire me, I'm here.
But like you said, Gareth, he had the chance with Nene. There was that heat around him, and then the one guy with scruples actually stepped down. You should have said, right, okay, if he's stepping down, this is where the bar's at. You're below this guy, you're gone.
Which means that all of Cabinet would have had to walk out.
But it's fine. There's other people who need jobs in this world.
Well, he's broken his silence following a week of controversy. He says he will only step down if asked. Well, now all it means is, Cyril, pick up your phone. Cyril, pick up your phone, Mr. President.
Oh.
Pick up your phone, Cyril, and call that big dick guy. Anyway, so calls for the embattled minister to step down have been mounting. Matter related to the Fireblade Aviation Fixed Base Operation. You heard about this? It made me yawn in the middle of that sentence. It was so boring.
Aviation.
Well, it was actually interesting on Friday. Nicky Oppenheimer's eyebrows were on ENCA talking about this.
No, really?
And for the fact for him to actually be on ENCA.
Yeah.
With his eyebrows, at least.
I mean, he doesn't have to be on TV.
No.
He is so busy just figuring out new ways to spend his money. Anyway, yeah, they tried to set up some VIP terminal at OR Tambo.
As you come down the lift, on the left, I know where the door is.
You do?
It's quite discreet.
Have you seen it?
Wait, I need to know this. What lift?
It's like every airport's got these VIP kind of thingies.
You've seen it? Oh, see, isn't this exciting?
You need to, like, give me more context here.
There's not, like, anything secretive or cryptic about this. It's a door.
Is it, like, a security standing in front of the door?
It doesn't look like a place you can go to easily, no.
I need to know where this is.
Why?
And when you go through the door, what happens? Is it like a secret corridor to the terminal? Is it a very Raja Shah lounge?
It's like going to Hogwarts. You've actually got to run really hard against it, and then you disappear.
Through the pillar.
Yeah. And if you're the wrong person, you bounce back.
I need to ask around about this.
You go through.
All right. Jordan says Israel wants to discuss border land deals. That's right. Under the peace treaty, two border areas were recognized to be under Jordanian sovereignty, but gave Israel special provisions to use the land to allow Israelis free access. So Jordan said on Sunday, Israel said they want to meet up.
Well, it's nice that she's getting into bigger issues rather than just herself.
No, no, no. The country Jordan, Ben. But that's an easy mistake to make. Jordan formally notified Israel 2 weeks ago would not renew the 25-year-old deal over Bakora, where the Yarmouk River flows into the Jordan River. That sounds like, doesn't this sound like the beginning of a bad story? Mm. Where the Yarmouk River flows into the Jordan River and the Gumar area in the southern Wadi Akhaba Desert, where Israeli farmers have large plantations. Foreign Minister Ayman Safadi, I'm going to stop the story there. It's boring.
Oh.
Here's another story. Brazil's next president has declared war on the fake news media. He's like Trump, this guy. That's what everyone's saying.
He's a trumpet.
Yes, he's a trumpet.
So he's basically Hitler?
Basically. Wow. Brazil's right-wing president-elect, Jair Bolsonaro. He started attacking critical press outlets almost daily on social media. He said it's not enough, though. Once in office, he vows to hit their bottom line. With $500 million in public sector marketing budgets coming under his discretion, the fiery former army captain is threatening to slash ad buying with adversarial media groups, striking at the financial foundations of Brazil's free press. Hmm. Hey, I got bad news, guys. If you were taking money from government before, you're not the free press. I mean, I hate to point out the obvious. Jesus, what are you, got the dumbest people in the universe working there?
We're the independent free press.
If you're taking ad revenue from the government, you are not free.
It's very new age-ish.
Wow, these people have got their heads up their backside. Go, Bolsonaro, close them down. It's a good idea. After a campaign in which he dismissed investigative reporting as fake news, you've heard this play out before, and guess who won?
The fake news.
Uh-huh. Invented by a corrupt establishment, and his supporters went after individual journalists, the threats are sending a chill through the country's newsrooms. Well, maybe it's time. I mean, you know, I keep hearing how everybody says Trump just incites all this hatred and hatred and hatred. All I hear from CNN and MSNBC and all of those people who can't stand Trump is hatred and hatred and hatred. You know who they hate? Donald Trump. Don't you think it's ironic? And when we hear there is fake news, Donald Trump has shown us, and there are a number of occasions, look, he talks a big heap of steaming shit too. But we know that the media have blown up stories that are nothing, that they report inaccurately, that there are very few people at CNN you could regard as objective journalists. You really think that they're helping to quash this atmosphere of bipolar, you know, sort of division in America? You think they're trying to stop that? Hell no. You tune into Don Lemon or Cuomo, or any of those shows, you'll hear what I mean. Those guys are about as unbiased as Jesus was about the Romans. Come on. Stop it. Ridiculous. Come on. And now Bolsonaro is doing it in Brazil, so the same media who were reliant on government expenditure, ad revenue, these are the people worried? You should be. You should be. Anyone who's reliant on government money in any way should always be worried when there's a change of government. That's what happens.
Very risky.
Yeah. Go into the private business sector where you can do business with people who you regard as your equals. There isn't a power relationship. You need something. They want something. Blah, blah, blah. You figure out a deal. That's how it works. Idiots. Anyway. Can't believe I have to tell them this. Let's turn our attention to, I mean, really.
Now they know.
Now you know. See, first of all, if you listened to this morning's show from 6 o'clock and you were Sia's ex, you would have figured out he's not into you anymore, yeah, and you've got to move on. And you would have figured out in the last couple of seconds why it's stupid to rely on government ad revenues. Okay?
Well-rounded, sir.
We provide a service. What can I say? We'll get some service from Leanne in a moment or two. We'll get some service from Ben in a second. In a second or two. And first, the cryptocurrency prices. Well, Ethereum went up to $208
from, amazing.
From
$200.
What a huge increase. There we go. Our fortunes are made. Everybody's going to sing around the fire tonight. Oh, my Ethereum investments finally paid off. It went up 8%. 4%, in fact. $8. All right. Bitcoin, $6,448. Ben, what's in the sport for us today?
Well, Gareth, the referee shits his pants in the English match and awards the win to them. Proteas hammer the Aussies, and Justin Rose is at world number one again in golf.
Oh, here's your proper music first.
Well, the box again decide let's rather lose than win. They had some great opportunities in that first half. Mario Toji, the walking yellow card of every test he plays in, got his yellow card, and then Malcolm Marks decided to not find his jumpers in the opposition 22. I know that sounds harsh because obviously he wasn't trying to do that, but we've got to be clinical. This is the thing. The Box are meant to be the team that can beat the All Blacks, and we did do it this year. Almost did it twice, but it was just piss poor. I mean, somehow English stayed in the game long enough for that test tube baby Owen Farrell to score a penalty.
It's a test tube baby.
That guy was made in a lab. There's nothing going on in the head there. So then they were 12-11 up. I mean, I think that's the score. I kind of tuned out emotionally from that match in the second half. And then right at the death, the Springboks are doing all right. They're building up the phase. They're building the pressure. The penalty was coming. It's so inevitable. The penalty was coming. Unfortunately, though, Angus Gardner. Remember I spoke about this guy during the Rugby Championship? Mm-hmm. I said, everyone get to Loftus, scream and shout, because this Gardner guy is such a shit ref. He'll buckle to a home call at some stage at a pivotal moment, okay? So that's why I said, pressure this guy and he will shit his pants, as the rugby saying goes. So what happened? Right at the death, Andre Esthazen runs into that test tube baby Owen Farrell, who shoulders him in the throat. Now, World Rugby, you guys sew up your own arse through the hypocrisy. Oh, we must protect the ball carrier at all times. If anything comes towards the head and the neck, it must be an instant penalty and people must be sanctioned. Owen Farrell spears this guy in the neck with his shoulder. And that's it. Turnover ball gets kicked out. Angus Gardner is so keen to get in the showers and give himself a gobby. Calls it the end of the game. And then he goes, oh, wait, sorry, that tackle looked a little bit criminal. Let's have a look upstairs. Goes to the replay. This guy so badly wants to get off the field. He goes, no, there was definitely arms there. His hands were by his hips. Okay, in rugby, the arm needs to go around the player you're tackling. His hands were by his hips. You can look at it at any given stage. Farrell himself, after making this illegal hit, he was so sheepish at the end of when the whistle went, didn't even celebrate because he knew he was in shit. Referee, though, well, he just didn't want to upset England. And that was it. The game was called. The TMO, who obviously had the backbone of a flannel, he said nothing either. But it was obviously the Box played like crap. Probably didn't deserve to win it at the end. But the thing is, that was a legitimate call. It's not hard. The Box were crap because the other team was contesting them in a field of play, okay? So that wasn't a guarantee they're always going to win this. Some teams have a bad day. The Box weren't their best, okay? You can give that. So if you want to go on your high horse and say, oh, but the Box shouldn't have been in the position anyway, no shit. But when it comes to a referee who knows the laws, has the ability of technology to consolidate a situation, take a breath in, take a breath out, and then decide on something with a objective, impartial, honest mind, you can't have calls like this. It's just so ridiculous. Worse still, in that final movement, when the Box are pushing for pressure, obviously people are saying, well, why didn't they take a drop goal? But if you're in the ascendancy, why not just get the penalty? There was a blatant offside call. Angus missed it. Then there was a high tackle on Jesse Creel. Angus missed it. The same guy who was offside made the high tackle. Play on. Cool. I just want to get this finished. I mean, maybe he needed a dump. I don't know. But
a dump.
It then got to the point. That was probably one of the worst tackles I've seen on the rugby field this year. By far. Sonny Bill Williams got a red card against the British and Irish Lions earlier this year for far less. Okay? Far less. You'll see so many different other calls. Like Damien Dunley last year, he got a red card for jumping up and catching a guy as he was falling down. It was just absolutely diabolical, and this kind of stuff still happens in rugby, which is an absolute shame. But yeah, Angus Gardner called the guy a prick earlier in the year. True to form, look at him. He'll just always shit his pants when the pressure gets too much. He Bryce Lawrence's.
And when you said that, though, I've envisioned someone actually shitting in their pants, so I was a little disappointed in the story.
It's a sporting term, Gareth. When the pressure gets too much,
I hear you.
Essentially, you shit your pants. It's been going around for years. I didn't just make it up now.
All right.
But if you go onto my Instagram account, The Bounce, you'll see the whole thing about you must use your arms to tackle. The guy's shoulders in Andreas Tersen's throat. Rossi Erasmus, though, I'm starting to like this guy more and more. Okay, yes, that win was on the table from the first minute. England were useless. They're going to get so absolutely trousered by the All Blacks in this autumn series. But Rossi Erasmus had this amazing thing to say. Because the British press, well, obviously, they'll do anything for salacious headlines. And one of the guys said, you know, what do you think about that dubious tackle at the end? And Rossi's like, nah, nothing against it. I mean, if it's legal, our guys should be doing it too, because it really stops the guy, doesn't it? Sense of humor in a horrible time. And then the guy's like, oh, is there some sarcasm in that? He's like, no, not at all. If we can get away with it, we should also be doing that tackle. It was silence. And of course, did he get cited? Of course not.
Not a chance.
If that was Bucky's boy during the day, he would have been deported. He would be raking sand in Kandahar right now if the World Rugby had a chance to deal with him. Absolute bullshit. That's all I'm going to say on it. Absolute bullshit. But yeah, the boxing need to be more clinical. And unfortunately, as great as Malcolm Marx is in open field play, you can't be a hooker and miss your jumpers. It's simple as that. And when you've got the lineup options that the box have, Evan Etzebeth, Peter Stetsatoi, Arkeas Snyman is like 18 foot tall. You've got to make sure that your lineups are your thing. Or maybe they could have taken the scrum as well when they were a man up. But hey, all in the past now. 12-11, England win that one. Other matches from international rugby over the weekend. Japan played against like an experimental New Zealand side, and that New Zealand side won 69-31. Wales, they beat Scotland 21-10 at home. Interesting result that. And then Ireland, tuning up for the big one against New Zealand part of this autumn in series. They beat Italy 54-7. And the New Zealand Maoris absolutely thrashed the USA 59-22. So that was rugby for the weekend. Hooray. Entertaining, although somewhat deflating, disappointing. Thanks, Angus. Cricket, though, well, the Proteas, they played against that President's 11 bunch of mates team, and they got beaten soundly. So, gotta say, the Aussies really felt that it was blood in the water going into the first ODI in Perth in their new stadium there. Fat chance. Australia bowled out for 152. How absolutely, absolutely shite. Of course, the last time these two teams played, it ended in tears, for the Aussies, that is, because they had sandpaper in their jocks. And it wasn't because their nuts were getting a very abrasive treatment. It's because they just couldn't deal with the fact that they cheated. They got called on it, and then suddenly they wanted to cry to their parents. But this game, well, they came out. Travis Head got 1, Finch got 5, Short got 0. Dale Steyn was just amazing at the top of the order there. And, a guy called Carey, he got 33. And Nathan Coulter-Nile, the best name in cricket, he got 34. But that was all they could muster, Gareth. 152. And that was it. All out in the 39th over. Lungi Ngidi, he got 2 wickets for 26. Steyn got 2 for 18. The pick of the bowlers there was Andile Pekla-Quayle, 3 for 33. Always goes at a bit of a rate. Always over 5, but 3 wickets for 33. Very good stuff there. And the Proteas, well, they won quite easily. Quinton de Kock and Reeza Hendricks got enough runs at the top. Everyone else could then just sort of ease in from there. They won by 6 wickets. Easy game. Take that, you Aussie bastards. Football, big weekend of football, of course. It was the big English Premier League Saturday and Sunday round of fixtures. Chelsea, they stay unbeaten. So it's not just Man City who are incredible. Chelsea also unbeaten this season. They beat Crystal Palace 3-1. Man City, as expected, they went to Southampton, came to their stadium with little hope of doing anything. 6-1 they lost. So Man City stay on top with many, many goals. Spurs beat Wolves away, which is a good result, 3-2. Arsenal, well, you know that they can't win the big games. They tried and they were plucky and they were impressive at times. But 1-1 draw over Liverpool, who are also still unbeaten in the league. And then Man United, they won. They won away to Bournemouth, so they must be very chuffed about that. Leicester City with tears in their eyes. Obviously, they beat Cardiff 1-0 away. And that was pretty much your English football for the weekend. It was the Telkom Knockout Cup over the weekend, which is hugely exciting if your team was in there. But not for Sundowns. What the hell's happened to these guys? They lost 2-0 to Baroka. AmaZulu, they lost 3-1 to Pirates. Wits, they beat Maritzburg United 2-1. And then yesterday, Chiefs winning 1-0 over SuperSport United. So, for your semi-finals in the Telkom Knockout Cup, you've got the Soweto Derby, Kaizer Chiefs versus Orlando Pirates. And you've got Baroka versus Wits. Hooray. In tennis, Novak Djokovic, who is now the world number one again. He beat Roger Federer in the semi-final and then got into the Paris Masters. He then played against this Russian guy called Karen Khachanov.
Khachanov. Oh.
And guess who won, Sia?
Khachanov.
Yes, he did. 7-5, 6-4. The unknown Russian with his hat backwards, not a care in the world. He beat the world number one at the Paris Masters, his first Masters 1000 title.
Well done to him.
Huge for him. Huh? Can you imagine the bubble after that? You know these Russians like to party.
Yeah, of course.
And even not, they get forced into it by their entourage. Huge night for him. But it'll be the final series next. The top 10 players in the world will be going to London to go play in that arena that the Queen did not like, the O2. In golf, the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open at the TPC Summerlin course in Las Vegas. Bryson DeChambeau recorded his 5th PGA title. Now, this is quite incredible because Bryson DeChambeau, you're probably thinking, who the hell was that guy? Exactly. Not so long ago, he was just the guy with the one-length clubs and he just looked a bit funky. But 5 PGA championships now, that is absolutely huge. He won on a grand total of 21 under, beating Patrick Cantlay and Sam Ryder. Gee, Sam Ryder, that guy must be about 300,000 years old right now.
300,000 years old?
The Ryder Cup was named after him. Incredible effort to come back from the dead for him.
That's amazing.
And then in Turkey, at the Turkish Airlines Open at Ragnam Karyar Golf and Spa Resort.
Yes, I know that one.
It's amazing. It's one of the holes you actually play off the roof of the pool, of the pool area.
Yes, I've been there.
It's incredible. Oh. Justin Rose, he was incredible. He beat Ha-Tong Lee in the playoff. Ha-Tong Lee, unfortunately, just didn't quite fire in the on the Sunday round, shooting a 71. Rose had 68, tied on 17 under. Rose did it again. What an incredible player this guy is.
You know, that's a line from the Golden Girls, too.
Rose did it again.
Yeah.
You're right, Gareth. So Rose will go back to world number one. And of course, just in case you didn't...
Blanche and Dorothy will be 2 and 3.
Yep.
Sophia 4.
Exactly. Rose will be world number one. And he will end the year probably there because now he's got the race to Dubai. So he's going to give the Nedbank challenge a skip. Screw you, Justin. You from here. Come on.
Are you too good for
it? Make an effort. You're too good for South Africa now?
Yeah.
Anyway, he's giving us a skip this week. Rory McIlroy is not. But we'll get into the Nedbank Challenge field later in the week. It's hugely exciting. It's Africa's major, as they say. So Rose will give this a skip, but he will be in Dubai for the DP World Champion Final.
The and DP, then, huh?
Yeah.
Be in Dubai for the DP.
Yeah, he's going to Dubai for the DP. And that will be the end of the golfing season. And then it'll start the week after, because that's what happens. You get the wraparound season, which is golf, basically, is full-time. I mean, the USP, it just never ends. It just never, ever ends. Just think, next week is the Mzansi Super League. How exciting. The sporting year is not dying.
Who's Leanne's team again?
The Durban Heat.
Durban Heat.
Has Anthea got
Anthea's got the Nelson Mandela Bay Giants. That's your team.
Yeah.
And Gareth, the Paul Rocks. I'm the Jersey Stars. And Sia's the Swane Spartans.
With AB de Villiers.
Yes, and Nolo is the Cape Town Blitz. So there's your Mzansi Super League teams. Everyone can have a team. It's the tournament for everybody.
Wow.
And that will start next Friday, but we'll get into that close to time.
Durban Heat, huh?
Durban Heat is right up there.
That is your Monday sport wrap-up.
Thank you very much, Ben. It's time to turn our attention to Anthea Gardner, everybody. This is what most people come for on a Monday.
For the money.
Yes, she does.
So hard for it, honey. She was hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Uh-huh. Anthea.
She was hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. She was hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
All right, Anthea, what do you got for us today?
Good morning. I can just say that I am very happy that October's finished. That was an awful month on the stock market.
Was it
really
a red October for you?
Oh, very good, Gareth.
No, but I mean, we know the stock market didn't perform. Is that the primary reason you didn't like October?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. It was the worst October since 2009.
Oh, and that was the year after the financial crisis.
Ew. Exactly. So just generally awful. But last week we had a couple of shares that bounced nicely. Naspers being one of them. It was up 8% in 2 consecutive days. So 16% basically for over two days. And so the issue with Naspers, one of the issues is that why it's been down, because it's down a lot since the beginning of the year, is that they have unequal voting rights. So you have N shares and A shares. And A shares have more rights when it comes to voting than N shares. And really that's about protecting the company from a takeover. And what MSCI, the Morgan Stanley Composite Index, I think they're called, they're the guys who do the benchmarks for kind of the market, you know, just for global markets. They were saying that companies with unequal voting rights should have a change in their constitution, their weighting in the index. And so everyone thought that the weighting in the indices for Naspers was going to be decreased because of this unequal A and N shares voting rights. But then last week, sure, sigh of relief when Morgan Stanley Inc., or MSCI Inc., I should say, came out and said that they're not going to change the indices. In fact, what they will do is issue and monitor new indices. So if you're a portfolio manager or an investor, you can choose which index you want as your benchmark. And that's why Naspers was up 8% 2 days in a row.
Okay, are they still splitting up their offering?
Naspers?
Yeah, are they still going to cut out all the media assets, the local ones? And
they haven't said anything more since the last time, so I don't really have any more insight into it. But I guess the answer is yes.
Okay. Got to keep an eye on that.
Yep. And then a couple of the other thing that carried the market last week was Facebook put out their results. Revenue up 33%.
Well, you can tell if you go on Facebook, you're being sold shit all the time.
Okay, so this is it's interesting you bring that up, because what Zuckerberg said in his results presentation, in fact, was that they want this balance between revenue and cost growth. And I think people kind of know, if you're going to use Facebook for free, then you have to get ads, right? I mean, they have to generate money somehow. Or
right.
Not.
No, of course they have to.
I mean, I hate those ads.
It's not a public service.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right? And then the other thing he said was that they're going to spend money on catching up on security issues. So basically, they've increased their CapEx by like 38% or something ridiculous to $20 billion. That's just their CapEx spend, right? Their
sure.
capital expenditure.
Yeah, that's so, a lot.
Yeah, they make a lot of money, they do. And I almost think it's a believable story. You know, when Facebook first started, he really did go out. He understands this kind of holding back on profit and spending money on expanding. He does get it. He's not a stupid guy. Make no mistake. I mean, he's irritating at times, but
he's a lizard.
But he gets it.
All right.
So I think you'll see in the coming quarters and years, probably Facebook's revenue or operating margin decrease slightly because of this increased CapEx spend, but it'll do them good in the long term. So I think that's what everyone was looking for.
So and trying to make Facebook safer and less annoying.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it was a nice indicator for the tech stocks that really needed a bounce. I mean, October was terrible for them. It was the one thing in this market, global market last year and up to kind of October, that was holding up, and then beginning of October fell apart. And then locally, quite a few companies reported. Raubex reported their interims. They're the infrastructure business. 73% increase in headline earnings per share, despite a 4% decrease in revenue and a 57% decrease in operating profit. Really what they were saying, very low volume of work from Sanral, which is one of their biggest clients. So unfortunately, I think that means bad roads, potholes.
Mm-hmm.
Their revenue was...
And they'll blame us. They'll say it's because we didn't pay our e-tolls.
Yes, absolutely. Remember the budget speech?
Oh, yeah. No, they're already lining it up so that they can put the blame fairly and squarely on us, even though their whole job is just to maintain roads. So what have they been doing while we've not been paying e-tolls? Sitting on their hands?
Yep, exactly. I mean, it was a bit of a shocker for Raubex. Their operating profit fell from 370 million rand to 157 million rand. I mean, that's a lot of jobs if you think about it in that kind of context that could potentially get lost, you know.
Right.
And then Famous Brands reported. We knew this was going to be a bad set of results. They admitted that GBK, Gourmet Burger Kitchen, restructure is happening. They made losses of £2.6 million, because of course it's a UK operation. Mm-hmm. Revenue was up 5.4%, headline earnings up 10.6%, but they're not paying a dividend. Interesting here is that their organic growth in South Africa was quite good, so not by acquisition, just the businesses that they already have, and that they've opened four Frozen for You stores. So this is their first foray into what they call home meal replacement segment. So
okay.
Little packaged frozen food. Interesting to see famous brands doing that, considering they're really a restaurant chain group, aren't they?
Yep.
And
tell me about Impala Platinum.
Oh, yes, they put out production numbers. We saw an 8.2% increase in production there. Concentrate was flat, but what they've done was really take from inventory. This is an interesting story because over the period, I mean, they announced this last year already, they were going to cut a third of their workforce, 39,000 jobs. I mean, that's horrendous. 1,500 have been done in the last quarter. Another 13,000 to come over the next 2 years. It's a sad story, this platinum sector, considering South Africa is so dependent on it. And then the good news for Impala Platinum shareholders, if you are a shareholder still, is that they have found a potential buyer for their one shaft mine in Rustenburg. They're basically closing, almost forgotten the number now, I want to say it's 8 out of 11 shafts in the Rustenburg area.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation.
Wow, that's heavy.
No.
All right, what about MTN?
Yep, they put out an update as well last week. And the reason we need to talk about this, because it was such a surprise. So the negative is it looks like they're not repatriating any money out of Iran or Nigeria for that matter. And you know Nigeria is this kind of unmodelable, unquantifiable madness with the government.
Unmodelable, I like that word.
Okay. Yeah, like I can't put it into my model, basically. That's okay. What I'm trying to say.
Why is that?
Because the government keep turning around and going, well, we're going to fine you for not killing the SIM cards. Then we're going to fine you
for
repatriating.
Money. And the government are trying to find money, and they're using these companies as a cash cow.
But isn't it crazy that Nigeria is an oil company with the oil price so high, you would have
Nigeria
thought...
Nigeria is an oil company?
A country.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right.
But so all their money comes from oil. They are an oil company, actually.
They are.
And with the oil price so high, you would think that the Nigerian government wouldn't need to do this. So I'm finding
it
very strange.
They're greedy for tax money, and they can't get enough tax money, so they find fining. This is a bottomless pit for them. I feel sorry for MTN. I really do.
I do a bit as well, actually. Anyway, not too sorry for them. They were saying that group subscribers increased by 2.5 million in the quarter and data subscribers increased by 5 million. So, believe it or not, this business is still growing. And I think if they can get it right, they would be a decent business. But at this stage, oh, it's so hard, as I say, to model this Nigerian stuff.
Okay. But MTN, nonetheless, showing quite solid figures,
pretty solid,
especially
yeah,
locally. I&J and Karen Beef, let's talk food.
Yeah, they were in the news because the Competition Commission has accused them of colluding. So we have cartel allegations. And this all around the beef market. So basically they've divided up the beef market. What's interesting about this is that Karen Beef have already admitted guilt and paid 2.7 million rand. The Competition Commission is saying that I&J should pay 10% of their revenue. And everyone was worried about this because they belong to AVI, the food company. The listed company is AVI, the holding company. And really, I mean, it seems a big number. 10% of revenue is the kind of thing that is the difference between a company staying afloat or going bust. But actually for AVI, it's only like 0.75% of their market cap.
So in other words, again, it's a government interfering in private enterprise. And what are they going to do with that fine money, the Competition Commission? What do they do with it, Anthea? Do they give it back to the consumer? No, that'd be stupid. They keep it for themselves.
Put it in the government coffers. Yes. Hopefully they spend it well, though, right?
No, well, they're not going to spend it well.
Yeah. And then Sanlam announced that they're doing a BEE deal. They're selling 5% of their shares, which is to the value of between 7.4 billion rand and 8.6 billion rand, at a 10% discount. It's quite funny. They actually literally named the groups that they were selling their BEE shares to. So to Sanlam employees, professional black women, rural and poor black women, black youth, black business partners, broad-based black groups.
This sounds like what Favut was doing. He was putting people in categories. This is what he did,
completely.
Right? I mean, when HF Favut, okay, so these are the people that will not be able to vote, and these are the people that will be able. Black women, no. Young black women, no.
Poor young black women,
definitely not. I mean, this is a really, really awful way to try and set up some kind of... come on, help me out here. This doesn't make sense.
So you can't blame Sanlam, right? They're trying to play by the rules that the government have implemented. You get that, right?
Yeah, but it's outrageous.
Okay.
I mean, if I were a Sanlam shareholder, I'd sell my shares in disgust. Just because this is the route they're taking.
And you didn't let me finish that group of people, because the one very prominent one is a group called Ubuntu Botho, which belongs to Patrice Motsepe.
Yeah, so of course he's underprivileged. I mean, can't you tell? He owns that football club that Ben said were losers just a moment ago.
He's got as much as a poor urban rural black woman.
Such a poor man is Patrice
Motsepe.
Yeah, this is outrageous. I think it speaks so poorly of a company that would go along with this.
I don't think they have a choice. I mean, that's how it is. That's regulation. And that's I think, a discussion you need to take up at a higher level. It's a strategic discussion.
Damn it, I will.
You do that. Okay. I'm going to end on some good news.
All right.
We're getting a petrol price decrease this month.
When?
How much?
What day?
I think it's Wednesday.
Really?
30 cents.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's the first petrol price decrease in 8 months, because we've had 8 months of increases. The petrol price has been up 4 rand since the beginning of the year.
How much is it decreasing by?
30 cents. Sorry. Was that not enough? Your face here.
Okay, let's be grateful for anything at this point.
Exactly.
All right, well, we'll take that as well. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Anthea, thank you very much. We'll check in with you next week.
We're holding thumb for the 30 cent decrease. Jeez.
Well, we could do with more
it
than
could
that.
Be, it could go the other way, so let's just take it.
Okay, Leanne, that's the set by Leanne for this morning. All right. Bed.
All right. Okay, let's move on, everybody. We've got Said by Sia. Do you want to give us a little inspiration and motivation for today?
Sure.
All right, Sia, here it is, your theme music.
Oh,
no, sorry, that's the
Snap,
Mucky, Sticky,
crackle,
Nasty Ho.
And Puff.
Sorry, that's your other theme music.
This is a very cute story, and I do believe that Leanne will take an extra liking to
Yay.
This, though. A man by the name of Dave Claxton was...
Dave Claxton, young man.
He was in Durban a couple of days ago, walking along the beachfront, and he noticed a bit of an odd sight. He saw a car guard standing around a little line of stray cats with beds around him.
Beds?
Little cat beds.
Oh, like cat beds.
Yeah.
Not, I thought of like Barbie beds.
Yeah.
With like sheets and everything.
I'm trying to paint this picture for you here.
Four poster.
So Dave stopped next to the car guard and started chatting to him. The car guard's name is Eddie, and found out a very interesting story that stray cats along the Durban Central beachfront have found a new liking to a certain person, which is Eddie the car guard. And Eddie has formed a little group of people who help support him by sponsoring cat food and, you know, little things for the cats. And he just makes sure that he looks after the cats during the day. So Dave actually took a picture of this and posted it on a Facebook group called Why We Love South Africa, and already the post has been shared more than 3,500 times.
Nice,
so the back story is, Eddie, of course, being a car guard, spends his day working, and he just mills around the cars, and so he's formed this weird relationship with the stray cats around the beach.
Well, basically, he probably started feeding one, and that's how it
started. And then there were 17.
But I think it's so cool that now
that
he,
so nice.
He teamed up with a lady who donates food, and there's also feral cat rescue team who have tried to take the cats away before, but the cats always always just make their way somehow back to Eddie.
So they're feral cats. They don't want to...
Hopefully
they don't want to go anywhere.
Hopefully they're sterilizing them or getting involved in some way like
Actually, yes. The feral cat rescue team have helped sterilize them all. And they also just make sure that the cats are healthy all the time. But Eddie, the car guard, is just casually there
Eddie.
Every single day chilling with his cats. And
he's a man.
He refers to them as his fur babies. I think that's so cute. Just the picture of Eddie and the cats is awesome as well. And that's his advice here for this morning.
Nice. All right. Well, there we go. There's some good stuff to get you going today. It's Monday morning on CliffCentral.com. We are here to look after you and keep you company. CliffCentral.com.